Frederick felt congestion had ruined Paris. But for Nora, the charm was infinite. The boulangerie and the patisserie, the crepes sold from street stands, the spires of ancient buildings, the bells. The sounds, too, of the language flowing like a stream, a word here and there emerging like a pebble. "How about you? How's the tour? Are you still in love?" "Oh, yes," he said, his face easing a little. He looked straight at her. "Are you going to marry Frederick?" She ran her finger around the sharp corner of the brochure. This was the question, of course, woven through all her moments. Should she change her life? She loved Frederick. She had never been happier, though she could see through that happiness to a time when his endearing habits might get on her nerves and hers on his. He liked things just so. He was meticulous about everything from mitered corners to tax forms. In that way, though in no others, he reminded her of David. She was old enough now, experienced enough, to know that nothing was perfect. Nothing stayed the same, herself included. But it was also true that when Frederick walked into a room, the air seemed to shift, grow charged, to pulse straight through her. She wanted to see what might happen next.
"I don't know," she said slowly.
"Bree's willing to buy the business. Frederick has 2 more years on his contract, so we don't have to make any decisions for a while. But I can imagine myself in a life with him. I suppose that's a first step." Paul nodded. "Is that how it was last time? You know, with Dad?" Nora looked at him, wondering how to answer this.
"Yes and no," she said at last.
"I'm much more pragmatic now. Then I just wanted to be taken care of. I didn't know myself very well."
"Dad liked to take care of things."
"Yes. Yes, he did." Paul gave a short, sharp laugh.
"I can't believe he's dead."
"I know," Nora said. "Neither can I." They sat for a time in silence, air moving lightly around them. Nora turned her brochure, remembering the coolness in the museum, the echo of footsteps. She'd stood for nearly an hour before this painting, studying the swirls of color, the sure and vivid brushstrokes. What was it Van Gogh had touched? Something that shimmered, something elusive. David had moved through the world, focusing his camera on its smallest details, obsessed with light and shadow, trying to fix things in place. Now he was gone, and the way he'd seen the world was gone as well. Paul was standing up, waving across the park, the sadness on his face giving way to a joyous smile, intense, clearly focused, and exclusive. Nora followed his gaze across the dry grass to a young woman with a long, delicate face and skin the color of ripe acorns, her dark hair and dreadlocks to her waist. She was slender, wearing a soft print dress. She carried herself with a dancer's grace and reserve.
"It's Michelle," Paul said, already standing. "I'll be right back. It's Michelle."
Nora watched him move toward her as if pulled by gravity, Michelle's face lifting at the sight of him. He cupped her face lightly in his hands as they kissed, and then she raised her hand and their palms touched briefly, lightly, a gesture so intimate that Nora looked away. They crossed the park then, heads bent, talking. At one point they paused, and Michelle rested her hand on Paul's arm, and Nora knew he had told her.
"Mrs. Henry," she said,
shaking hands when they reached the bench. Her fingers were long and cool.
"I'm so sorry about Paul's father."
Her accent, too, was faintly exotic. She had spent many years in London. For a few minutes, they all stood in the garden, talking. Paul suggested that they go for dinner, and Nora was tempted to say yes. She wanted to sit with Paul and talk long into the night. But she hesitated, aware that between Paul and Michelle there was a warmth, a radiance, a restlessness to be alone.